from the Premier League. It's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. As the players return to action, it's time to get our teams locked down, and there's plenty of work to do. With 9 game weeks to go and unlimited transfers before Wednesday, we'll be sorting out the must-haves from the must-have-ees in time for game week 30+. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the FPL podcast. Woohoo! So good to be back. So good to be welcoming the likes of Kelly, Jules, and Lee. Hello to you all.
Hi, James.
Hello, James. Hello,
hi, James. Kelly. We're all in different places now, listeners, because you know Kelly Summers. Though, hello.
Hi, James. I'd say see you, but I can't see you. So good to hear you in my ears again and be talking FPL with you.
Yeah, even better not to see me, some would say. You're 8th in our podcast guest league, a little bit ahead of me. Julien Laurens, you're 3rd with Pepe Don't Preach, and you're in the top 8,000 in the world. That's incredible.
Thank you, James. Although I had a terrible game week 29, I mean, it felt like so long ago that I want to forget about it. But going back into the game for this show and to start again, I had to go back to previous weeks when we were still playing, and that was terrible. I really didn't have much luck then.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear it. Just above you in our league is a Bonyard, but it's not you, Lee, is it? It's your wife, Sam.
No, she's doing very, very well still. Yeah, just crept above Jules, I think, just before the break. So that was noted in our household, Jules.
I'm sure it was, Lee, I'm sure.
Well, it's great that the game is back underway. I'm probably not the only person thinking the fairest thing would have been to zero all the points totals, but maybe that's just me. Thanks for laughing, Kelly. Right, unlimited transfers. This is so exciting. It's essentially like Christmas, isn't it, Lee? Isn't it exciting?
Well, it is, James, but I can't help but feel somewhat controversial by saying that I'm actually considering ignoring the unlimited transfers altogether. I mean, my team was in a pretty good state before the break because I'd used my wildcard a couple of weeks before the interval. So my team's in good shape. The fixtures we're about to embark upon are the same as those that we would have had at that time. So I kind of feel like there's a lot of FPL managers out there that will be pretty happy with their teams and might not want to use too many, if any, of those unlimited transfers.
I mean, the fixtures are the same, but Lee, everything's changed. You know, players who weren't available are now available. What do you guys think, Jules, Kelly, what do you make of this?
I think if they give me free transfers, I have to use them, even if I don't want to. I mean, it's like giving you cash, free cash to go and buy some shoes or some trainers or something like that. You have to go. You know, you can't just ignore them. It'd be too hard. So you don't have to change the whole squad, but at least a few there and there, especially like you said, players who maybe were not available to you before, like Marcus Rashford, Harry Kane, you know, all of those. At least, you know, just not to insult the people who make this game. We should all use one or two.
Jules, do you not feel a little bit, though, that they've given us too many decisions? Like, for me, I'm a bit in Lee's camp. I can completely see why Lee's done it, because I was building up. I was looking ahead. And I was actually, I'll admit it, I was one of those people that I was so bored at the start of lockdown. I was actually making my transfers each week because you could still make them. So I bought in players. I thought that Arsenal, City and the fixtures, if they were going to carry on, would be in that order. So I'd kind of prepared. So I'll be honest, as we're speaking now, I have got a few things I want to do in mind, but I would have been okay if not. And let's be honest, it gives us massive headaches. We've got to spend so long sorting it. But I guess it is quite fun as well.
Kelly, essentially, you've already done your unlimited transfers because you were kind of working that loophole in the system.
I mean, after 4 weeks, when all the days started to merge into one, I did forget a few deadlines.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, but if you are building a new team, is the strategy, I've seen this mentioned in various places, doing a bench boost this weekend because of the fact that it's a double game week, double fixtures for 4 teams, and then wildcarding again the following week, doing it that way, playing a couple of chips just to get yourself up and running?
That was what I was thinking of doing, James, but unfortunately, I'm finding it stressful enough picking my team. The thought of using a chip and it going wrong would just kill me for the rest of the season. I'm still getting over. I was one of the many, many people who did the Mane triple captain in the double game week. We all know what happened.
Why have you got to bring that back up?
Exactly. But unfortunately, that's still in the back of my mind. So I'm just going to play it safe, use my unlimited transfers, which I am grateful for. I didn't mean to sound ungrateful. But no, I do think that's a brilliant shout, James. And many people will benefit from doing that. They say fortune favours the bold, and the bold people that do that, it may well pay off.
Okay, I'm right behind you in the guest league, and I'm going to be doing it, just so you know, as you watch the fixtures happen this week. Very good. If you are making a whole new team, by the way, then we put together a special section just for today called Clean Slate Teams. So rare in life that someone gives you a clean slate, somebody wipes out all your previous errors, gives you unlimited chance to put things right. But that's what we've got, Ageals, the chance to really make our team special. Let's have some must-have players. Where are we going to be building our teams from? Go, Jules.
Well, I think you need to look at Man City, who have two home games in this double game week for them, which I think if you can and with those free transfers, you should be able to. But thinking about three City players in your team for this game against Arsenal and Burnley, for me, is a must, because Kevin De Bruyne should be guaranteed. Emerick Laporte, for example, coming back and with very low ownership, and we will mention him again later in the differential, could be very good as well, because you could expect them to be far more solid with him than they were without him. Then you could look at Sergio Aguero, obviously. You could look at Riyad Mahrez, Raheem Sterling. You've got so many different players and options that you can bring in. But I think three City players for me this week has to happen.
It's a minefield, Jules, isn't it? It's a minefield. The Pep roulette surely is going to be in full swing. And given that the teams have got five substitutions they can make every game, Pep is going to be really on it, isn't he?
But I think that's my point. It's far easier for Pep to keep the same starting 11 now because he's got five subs every game. So you could start with the same 11 players and after an hour, you change half of that. But then you can start them again the following week for an hour and then you make another five subs. I do think that the five subs actually help Pep in terms of continuity and consistency in his team choices and selections compared to just having the three subs before.
Jules, you've thrown me again now because that's actually made me realise.
But Lee might be right, but I'm just thinking the five subs of all the teams surely is helping Pep more than anybody else.
I hope you're right.
I personally cannot wait for the five substitutions. I think it's going to throw FPL into complete and utter carnage.
Time will tell, Lee. Who is your must-have player? Where do you start from?
Well, I think I've got to go with Jules and say, well, if you're going to go for Man City, you've got to buy some tickets to the lottery. Whichever Man City players you go with, I think are good. But outside of that, I think you've got to have a look at Arsenal. Aubameyang clearly is, I think, the favourite pick there. I've got him and I've got Saka in my team as well, which is an interesting pick. He was showing some really good form on that left side before the lockdown, before the break. And of course, the key word there is form, right? So we've gone in through a couple of months worth of break now. So am I to expect Saka to come out of the break into form? Who knows? The return of Kieran Tierney, Kolasinac as well fit. So it's going to be difficult for FPL managers to pick who their second Arsenal player might be. But I think, look, Aubameyang is a really good shout. And if you want a little bit of a differential, Pepe is still only 5% owned in FPL. So again, had a difficult start to the season, then showed a bit of form. But again, good differential, 5%. So if you don't mind spending a bit of cash in midfield, Pepe might be worth a look.
Okay. Aubameyang's among the most bought-in players right now. De Bruyne's in there. Aguero as well. Rashford, who's now back available from that back injury. Top of the list of players brought in, intriguingly, is Jack Grealish. While up in the upper echelons of the players moved out most by managers worldwide are the likes of Mo Salah and Alexander-Arnold. Does that leave you perplexed, Kelly Somers?
It does a bit, mainly because I've still got them in my team and it's making me think maybe I shouldn't have. I think Grealish is a very interesting point, though, because he is one. I've currently got Harvey Barnes and I've got enough money that I can change it to Grealish. Harvey Barnes was one I had him from before. And Grealish's stats are brilliant. He's been involved in 14 goals. He's now got over 100 points. I think he's the only Villa player with that many. And we've talked about rotation. We've talked about these substitutes. He is their main man, so he looks rotation-proof. He's played the full 90 in all but one of their 26 games. So he is one to look at, and I'm definitely not surprised to see him up there.
Mm. Intriguingly, his first fixture back is the first fixture of the end of this season. Aston Villa taking on Sheffield United. The reverse fixture was his worst game week of the season. He missed a penalty and got 0 points, just so you know. Who would be your must-have player then, Kelly, for a clean sheet team, clean slate team?
I was going to say clean sheet team. I don't know how many clean sheets we're going to see, so I'm not going to be going too heavy on expecting that. But for me, it's Kevin De Bruyne. Sorry to be boring. Sorry to agree with the guys, but Man City completely. Kevin De Bruyne is the most owned player, and there is a reason. He loves playing Arsenal as well. He got a brace and assist earlier this season as well. I also have Aubameyang as it stands. He was one of my smart moves that I bought in, but I might actually go to Aguero. 8 home goals. He scored 44% of their home goals. So there's a couple of really good options there. But for me, it's all about Kevin De Bruyne.
All right. Excellent. Well, next up, with this being likely the only double game week of this end of season, let's take a look at the fixtures in it. Game week 30 plus. All the game weeks, by the way, are number plus now because they're extra ones that have been added on to allow the game to complete. It is, as I mentioned, the only one probably that's going to feature double fixtures for teams. The lucky sides in question this time around are Aston Villa, Sheffield United, Man City and Arsenal. Where do you guys see all the points coming? Kelly, what about you?
Well, I don't know if it's going to be loads of points, but I think there could be loads of goals in Spurs versus Manchester United. And aside from all of the nice side notes with Jose facing his former team and everything, it's Friday Night Football. This is a game that I'm really looking forward to in the first week back. Spurs have got Harry Kane back. They've got Son back. They come back after this break in a really good place. They wouldn't have likely had Harry Kane back until the very end of the season. So their fans will be really pleased. But it's actually Manchester United's attack that I'm looking at in this game. I'm considering Son, but I probably won't go for him. So it is Manchester United attackers. The likes of Rashford and Pogba both back fit. Pogba and Fernandes playing together for the first time. And Rashford as well, the fifth highest scoring forward. And I think that he's got really good fixtures as well. Even if this Spurs game puts you off, he's definitely one to look at. But I think he could be amongst the points on Friday.
Last time they faced each other, these two teams, it was Rashford who got both United's goals. Ooh. Jules, is Pogba going to play?
I think Pogba is going to play, yeah. And he's very excited to play with Bruno Fernandes. We saw them, although they lost that friendly, but we saw them in the last game combining quite well together. And you think that they're two very intelligent players. I think they complement each other really well. They're very compatible in the way they play because although it's a similar position, they're very different profiles. So I think this one is exciting. And if you're Marcus Rashford, and I agree with Kelly, and I brought him in my team as well because he was on such good form before the injury. I think this whole break has done him a lot of good. I think his charity work probably has got him buzzing as well and everybody in the country because he's done amazing really well with children all over the country. So Rashford is there. And if you have Bruno Fernandes and Paul Pogba behind you as providers and you're Marcus Rashford, you must be looking forward to playing those games.
Everton, Liverpool, Lee, is that the game you're focusing on?
It's definitely the game I'm focusing on, James. Yeah, the next two games for Liverpool, for us Liverpool fans, clearly quite important. I picked that game out simply because of the two motivations of the different sides. So Liverpool couldn't be more motivated to come back from the break and win their first title in 30 years, whereas Everton kind of fall into that weird bracket of teams along with the likes of maybe Newcastle and Crystal Palace, where they are mid-table, pretty safe from the drop, but also not really looking further, not really high enough to look at kind of European places. So I kind of question what sort of motivation those guys will have and those teams will have coming back
from
the break.
But it's the derby.
Having said that, Everton, well, that's it. And having said that, it's the derby. So they are absolutely going to want to put the champagne back on ice for Liverpool in the title challenge, no doubt about it. But I agree with what Kelly was saying before. I'm struggling to see why the likes of Trent Alexander-Arnold and Salah are being transferred out by FPL managers. Because if there's any team that's going to be motivated, it's those guys. And their ownership in the game could hurt those that are transferring them out.
What happens, though, if, for example, they do win the title either this coming weekend or in the subsequent match? What happens to their motivation? Are you concerned at all that Liverpool and Jurgen Klopp, they might take their foot off the gas a little bit?
My view is that that's not really the Liverpool mentality. I think Klopp will want to go for record points and all that sort of stuff, and he'll want to get that that rhythm that he talks about. We've heard Klopp talk about rhythm before. He'll want that going into the next season. Will we see a few fringe players get a game? Yes, I guess Keita, Minamino and Origi might be on FPL radars in a few weeks' time. But I expect the big guys to play most of the games, James.
What about you then, Jules? Which fixture are you focused on?
I will focus on Manchester City Arsenal. We've talked a little bit about it already. If you look at the last six games, the goals is 17-2 for Manchester City. So you could say, pretty safely that it's been one-way games. And like Kelly said, they were very impressive, City at the Emirates back in December when they won that game 3-0. It's 2015 since Arsenal last beat City. I think, again, it would be very hard this time round. Although, as I think Dani Ceballos was saying the other day, the fact that we don't know what kind of rhythm the City players will have, for example, it's almost like at times, like a first game of the season where you've been training pre-season, but you've not played many games or you don't know exactly what kind of fitness you are, match fitness. and things like that. So maybe Arsenal, maybe that levels up a little bit, the talent between the two teams. Although I still think City are a huge favourite, and I think you should have City players in your team, as well as Aubameyang and Saka, like we've said with Lee before.
Kevin De Bruyne picked up 19 points in the reverse fixture at the Emirates. The one question there is, of course, the Pep roulette. Also because the second game of this double game week for City comes on Monday, which is, I think, only 2 or 3 days before their next fixture. So there's even more chance that Pep's going to rotate in that game. City are going to be hosting Burnley. That said, is there a case for using the triple captain chip? Are you considering that? Are you, Kelly? Are you considering using your triple captain chip this week?
Oh, I know why you've come to me with that, James. Let's just remind ourselves of me wasting my triple captain chip again. Yes, I don't have a triple captain chip, but if I did, maybe would think about it. Oh, yeah, you forgot, didn't you? I maybe would think about it, but I feel like it's the start of a bit of a new season where, yes, we know about form and players available, but they have come off this big break. So I would, even if I had it, which I don't, I would be inclined to wait and see who's in form and who is starting more regularly and what managers are doing and how much they are rotating. But as I've said before, fortune favours the bold. So maybe it will pay off if you do it.
Good news. All right, Jules, Lee, very briefly, triple captainship this week.
Yeah, I think for me, it's definitely an option because I don't see that we're going to have any other double game weeks. Well, probably not going to have any other double game weeks in which to play it. So if you've got it, yeah, why not?
Who would you play it on?
Oh, well, it's got to be a Man City player, isn't it? KDB or Aguero, if you think he's going to get the minutes.
And you can only use one chip at a time. So you would use a triple captain chip rather than, say, a bench boost in this double game week.
I think either's a good chip. I don't know what Jules feels about that. Jules, have you got both chips still in your pocket?
No, I don't, unfortunately. Oh. But I would have played. I played triple captain for this game and keep the bench boost for later, I think.
All right, I'm of the opposite opinion, but you're way higher than me in the standings. For what that's worth, I am very seriously considering bench boosting the heck out of a team that's constructed around the four double game week sides, and then clearing the whole lot out with a wild card for game week 31 plus. Ooh. Anyway,
that's a good plan. Yeah, sounds like a really good plan. If you still have your wild card, that's
all right.
No,
check
that's
back
really
in
good.
A week's time and hear how well that goes. A reminder, you can get the latest team news right up to the deadline, which is 5 o'clock British summer time this Wednesday. All the latest team news before that, though, at the Premier League's team news page, remarkably, and that's at premierleague.com. Next up, time to take a long view or not. Right, our traditional long view section is where we check out the FDR chart, the list of future fixtures, who's got an easy run of games, all that kind of thing. And we have some more long-term strategic planning, except there is this notion that it might be better, as I hinted just then, to look short-term for this restart, partly because we don't know who's in form, and partly because we've got a wild card, lots of us, that we can play straight afterwards. And really, with no other double game weeks later on, with none of those usual kind of FA Cup affected rounds with only 4 or 5 fixtures, there's no real need to keep wildcards for later on in the season. What do you think, guys?
Yeah, I think there's a point there. If you don't have a wild card, then I think look at the long view, because as we always say, even if we don't really know yet who is fit, who might struggle with the new context of games, etc., etc., you also know there's some not tangible things like you still know who's going to be very good anyway, or pretty much what teams should be strong. I don't know if we will see in the Premier League what we've seen in the Bundesliga with the away team winning more than the home team. I don't know if that will, but we will have a better idea quite quickly, I think. So all that, you'll have to take that in consideration. But I still think that long view is very, very useful when you want to build your team, especially, as you said, if you don't have a wild card left.
Okay. Also, the long view isn't that long, is it, really? With only 9 game weeks, and the game weeks are coming round so quick. That's one other thing that I think we have to remember. If you do play a wild card or whatever, you've only got a couple of days to really sort it.
That's very true. The Bundesliga's home win away win ratio, by the way, that Jules was just referencing, it's remarkable. It's only about a quarter of results have actually gone the home team's way so far, and that's in kind of 5 rounds of action, so it's quite a broad sample. Obviously the lack of any crowd has a major bearing in all of that. All right, so if we are going to do some long-term planning, looking at the FDR chart, fixture difficulty rating chart, which you can download from premierleague.com, which teams stand out as being really attractive for a bit of investment? Kelly, who do you think?
I'm actually looking at Wolves because if we're going to do the short term of this period of fixtures, their first three are against West Ham, Bournemouth and Villa in a week. That could feasibly be 9 points for Nuno's men and lots of FPL points. We also know that Nuno doesn't make too many changes. He can't. They've used 20 players this season. They're a very, very tight squad. They're very, very used to this fixture congestion as well. They've played the joint highest number of games out of all Premier League teams, 48, along with Liverpool. So if any team is equipped to deal with this, I think it could be Wolves. And they were looking in brilliant form just before the restart. All the noises coming out of there. I've interviewed a few of their players recently and it sounds like they're really fit and firing and they really want these Champions League spots. So I think the likes of Jimenez, Jota, Traore, even if you want to look at the defenders as well, some really good value in there.
And let's not forget that they will play in Europa League once this season is over domestically. So it's not like a normal end of the season where you play every three games and you've got Europe to think of and your rotation, etc. Now they can only focus on the league and then they will switch the focus to the Europa League when August comes.
All right.
They're playing quite a few relegation scrappers, though, aren't they, Kelly? Who have they got there? West Ham, Bournemouth and Villa. They're all going to be scrapping for points. I don't know whether we're going to see a lot of free-flowing football there with those teams. They'll all be battling it out.
But those teams do only have, Lee, I checked this because that was a concern. They've only got one clean sheet between them in 2020. Ah. They've conceded 57 goals in 27 games. And Villa and Bournemouth were in the bottom two for form over the last 10 as well. I know form kind of goes out the window, but we obviously do have to look at something. And it does point to those being attractive fixtures for FPL assets.
Boy, compelling case there, Kelly. Lee, who have you got your eye on team-wise? And
well, we mentioned them a little bit before, Manchester United. I think if you can get over the fact they've got to go to Spurs in game week 30+, which on paper doesn't look like a terribly easy game. But after that, it's Sheffield United, it's Brighton, Bournemouth, Villa, Southampton. So the kind of medium term looks pretty good for Manchester United. And as we suggested before, with Pogba coming back, if Bruno Fernandes can carry on the form that we saw before the break, and you've got such pace now up front with Rashford back on, back and fit and firing, Daniel James on one side of him, maybe Martial playing as well. So that guile and intelligence in midfield, coupled with the speed that they're going to have up front, I think that makes for a pretty frightening side. So, yeah, and of course, Ollie's going to be, you know, got something to fight for. Manchester United are one of those teams at the top of the league that have got actually something to fight for. So I think they're going to be pretty good from game week 31 onwards.
All right. And Jules, you?
I've looked at Newcastle. I like their fixtures and they don't have much to play for. They're 13, they're 8 points clear. The teams who are in the bottom three. So they're not there yet, but they're pretty much safe. But if you look at it, Sheffield United, Villa, Bournemouth, West Ham, City and Watford. So I think, especially in a team with Steve Bruce that is very strong defensively, who you know is not going to go crazy and have everybody attacking and stuff like that, they will still stay quite organised. I think if you want Dubravka in your team, if you want Federico Fernandez in your team, or even Lascelles, I think that's a good time to bring them in because I can see them bringing you points with clean sheets, for example, maybe nick a few goals or two on set pieces, because I think that's what Newcastle are going to do between now and the end of the season.
They do look like a good set of fixtures for the Magpies as we return to action. Very good. And next up, let's see if we can bring a little bit of solace to some listeners who have big selection dilemmas. It's listener question time. We ask you on the Twitter, with unlimited transfers available, what are your biggest selection dilemmas? You replied, FBL Tips says Ozil or Pepe. What do you think? This one seems like an easy one. Julian, what do you think?
I would go Pepe every single day. He
predictable. You know,
and you know, he will make things happen in that team. He will be more creative. He will take people on one-on-one more than Ozil. And okay, Ozil takes the set pieces, but still I think Pepe has a lot to offer, who also, by the way, takes set pieces too. For me, it's a no-brainer, that one.
Lee and Kelly, do you agree?
Yeah, I think I would. Ozil, I don't know whether you can, and we've said this on so many podcasts before, haven't we, whether you can trust him or not. Wouldn't necessarily say I could 100% trust Pepe either, but of the two, I think I'd go with Pepe, yeah.
All right, Kelly?
I agree, though I wouldn't be looking at either of them at this stage.
Buffalo Crisps wants to know, to Son or not to Son? Son has now returned from his broken arm and his national service. My concern here, though, is that it's a Jose Mourinho against a big club game and that therefore it might not be that expansive. What do you all think?
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree, James. I love Son. I think every time he's fit, normally I try and get him in my team. But I actually think for that price range at the moment, there are other midfielders I would be looking at. If you haven't got KDB, Fernandes, if you're still keeping with a Liverpool midfielder, which it sounds like, looking at the sales out, the fact that a lot of people aren't looking at Liverpool midfielders, so maybe people are looking at Son. But for me, there's better value elsewhere right now. Look at me, though. I could well be proven wrong. I normally am.
All right. Kelly Lee, do you concur?
I think I would. I mean, I'm looking at the Spurs fixtures and actually got obviously the Manchester United game. Then it's West Ham at home. Then it's a difficult away game to Sheffield United, Bournemouth on the horizon who are going to be scrapping. Then it's the London Derby. So a bit of a mixed bag from a fixtures perspective. And I think Kelly's right. It's a lot of money to pay for a player that may or may not get some minutes under Mourinho.
All right, Jules, you're nodding as well. So let me put a different question. Yeah, OK. Let me give you a different question then. It's KDB or Sterling? This from Chicken Samosa. Which one, Jules?
That's a good question. Good question, Chicken Samosa. I would go for KDB. I mean, we've talked a lot about him already on the show. I love Raheem Sterling, and I think he will probably do well towards the end of this season, but KDB has to be the man.
Lee?
I just love how Jules says Chicken Samosa. That was just blowing my mind. to be honest, so I'm thinking about both, actually. I've got, as I said before, I'm playing my free hit team in game week 30 plus and going all out Man City and thinking about playing both of them. But if I was to choose one, it'd be De Bruyne.
Okay. And Kelly?
I'm very jealous of Lee being able to have both of those this week because I think they're both brilliant picks. But I'm completely team KDB. Sterling's got the explosive points haul in him. But for me, it's all about KDB. He's been brilliant this season.
To finish off then, another dilemma from B Mac. Aubameyang or Aguero?
This is the dilemma I have right now. Yeah. I've got Aubameyang.
Yes.
And Aubameyang, for me, for the long term, is fixture-proof. I think rotation-proof. Doesn't have the best fixtures. Got a few nice ones in there, but equally some tricky ones. And I know he'll start. I know he'll score no matter how Arsenal are playing. But Aguero just has the big points hauls in him and is playing, sorry, Arsenal fans, in a better team. So as it stands, I'm going to do the transfer to Aguero. But I may stick with Aubameyang. So basically, B, I've been absolutely useless. I don't know. Maybe the other guys can help me out.
Jules?
It's a really tricky one. Obviously, because they both have double game week. So you can't even say, OK, I go for this one because he plays twice this week. They both will. There is always the rotation with Pep and things like that, like we've tried to explain before. Although I really think with the five sub that we will see less of that. So I think Aguero could well start both games, Arsenal and Burnley. Do you know what? I would go for Aubameyang because I still think that against City he can score on the counter-attack. And then certainly away at Brighton, he could have one or two even. So slightly I give the edge to Aubameyang.
Okay, and Lee?
Well, if my KDB or Sterling answer didn't upset you, Kelly, then this one certainly will. I'm thinking about both, again, on my free hit for game week 30 plus.
Have you basically got all of your money? You must have spent all of your money on Sterling, KDB, Aguero and Aubameyang. That's pretty much 100 mil there, isn't it?
It is a bit of a lopsided team, but if you put Grealish and Samatta in there and you take the Liverpool sort of heavy hitters out, then you can afford it. Listen, of the two, I actually fancy Aubameyang, mainly because the press recently, he's been talking about the ball's in Arsenal's court with his contract negotiation, etc., etc. So maybe he's got a bit of a point to prove there if he wants a new contract. So I'd maybe just favour Aubameyang slightly.
Playing for a new contract. All right. Well, if you've got any questions or comments, do send them in via social media. Use the hashtag FPLpod. Next up, we're going to be doing our essential differential section, but this week with a bit of a twist. Normally, as you know, listener, essential differential is all about the players with less than 10% ownership. This week, though, we're looking at the vast numbers of transfers in, looking at the kind of top 30 most acquired players, and checking out who isn't on that list. Who are the players who should be in the most popular acquisitions over the last week? And which ones are we considering? And we might want to factor in one or two who are maybe making a comeback here. We've talked about Son and Kane and Pogba. What about Jack Wilshere? Could he be an option? Or am I dreaming here? What do you think? As you look at the top 30 players in, position by position, Jules, who's not on that list that really should be?
Well, I think Paul Pogba should be on that list, and he's not in there. And I know he costs a lot of money, and there's a big question mark over his fitness and how long he will need to go back to his best and the rhythm and match fitness and all of that. I still think The talent is there, and I think he's so, trust me, he's so eager to come back and to play again and to play in that team. He's very excited, and I think we will see him starting against Spurs at the weekend. And he, for me, he would be straight in, and he would be very good from the beginning. But Aymeric Laporte is the other one that I find strange, that maybe not more managers have gone for him, because he's fully fit now. He's only owned by 2.6% of the players, which means it's huge differential, really. And you would expect City to be far better defensively with him, not conceding goals. He can also score on set pieces, and they've got two games this week. So Laporte, for me, even if he's of course expensive because he's a City player, but I think it's a very good choice.
Lee, what about you? Is there somebody, maybe a defender or a forward, who you think should be getting more picks?
Well, possibly from the forward line, James. Yeah, so it feels like a long time since any of us have been to any sort of party, but it's a long, long time since we've been to the Pookie party. And if I think back to game week one of this season, he kind of hit the ground running. I think he scored at Anfield, and everyone was piling in on him in their FPL team. So I'm hoping, certainly because I'm considering him for my free hit team coming up in game week 30 plus, so I'm hoping that he can hit the ground running again after the break. And if I look at the Norwich fixtures coming up, Southampton at home, Everton at home in the first two fixtures coming up. So they're playing two teams there that frankly are kind of sitting in that mid-table bubble that I spoke about before in terms of motivation. So if Daniel Farke can get the mentality right at Carrow Road, if he can get the likes of Cantwell and Pookie playing, then they must be looking at that first two fixtures and thinking, if we can get 6 points, then who knows, maybe the great escape is on, maybe, because they've got a lot of ground to make up. So Timo Pookie for me is one that is not being considered enough.
All right, 6 goals in his first 5 fixtures in the Premier League this season. When it all gets restarted again, will it be like a new season for him? Interesting. Kelly, what about you?
Well, I mentioned Jack Grealish before. He's obviously up there as the most transferred in midfielder, and someone that maybe we shouldn't all jump on straight away, but I'm surprised hasn't gone a little bit more interest, is McGinn of Aston Villa as well, because he's coming back from fitness. I've now heard since that there is quotes coming out from Dean Smith about caution. Obviously, he's coming back from a long-term injury, but he's definitely one to watch because he's really good value for money. And when he was playing, he was so, so good. He got 3 goals and 2 assists before his ankle injury in game week 18. He had 38 shots and 15 shots on target, which was a team high in that period. He's just 5.4 million, as I said. So he's definitely one to watch, potentially for your bench maybe. And going forward, I think he could play more. It's a whole million cheaper than Jack Grealish.
Right, well, after this, let's wrap things up by getting some concrete black and white decisions from the panel about any chips they're going to play and who they're going to be giving the captain's armband to. Right, we've done a lot of chatting about ifs and maybes and perhaps I will this, that and the other. But what are you actually going to do this weekend, Kelly? You've used all your chips before. We don't need to go into that again.
I haven't used them all. I have got some left. I'm not that
chip happy. What have you got?
Are
you going to use something?
No, I'm not going to. I like the people that have got the boldness to do the bench boost and then the wild card. I did think about it, but I'm just not ready for that kind of stress in week one. I need to ease myself back in.
Ease yourself back in.
So I'm not going to use any chips, though, as I've said, there is some very good chip strategies out there. I've got a busy couple of days ahead, James, because as I said before, I was kind of reasonably happy with my team, but even doing this podcast has given me a bit of food for thought. I was going to do a Bamiyang to Aguero. Maybe I'm now not, after the guys have said not to. I need to move on Harvey Barnes. It's whether I'm bold enough to go for McGinn or if I've got enough money for Grealish. So a few little decisions like that, but I've got my main players in now, I think.
Okay. All right. Then we'll hear about your captain's pick in a second or two, but Lee, you're free hitting this week.
Yes, that's it. Yeah, so going to ignore the transfers, go for the free hits, the likes of Sterling coming in and Grealish. And I actually quite like what Kelly was saying about McGinn. Maybe I'll keep an eye on his fitness as well. Maybe double up in midfield there with the Aston Villa boys. But yeah, free hit for me. And then I'll obviously revert back to my team that actually I'm pretty happy with in game week 31.
Okay, Julien, a chip from you?
I only have 3 hit left to play, so I will keep that because yes. I'm going to use the free transfers. So yeah, nothing. I will watch what Lee and Kelly are doing.
Okay. What are you going to be doing about your captain's armband though, Jules?
KDB, all the way.
All right. Lee, what about you?
Yeah, sorry to be boring, but yeah, probably Kevin De Bruyne.
Kevin De Bruyne.
Maybe Aguero, but I would say it's probably Kevin De Bruyne.
Okay. Kelly, who's going to be leading your team out?
Make it 3 of us that are really boring. Kevin De Bruyne as well for me.
Wow. KDB, yeah, you know me. It's tough to look past him, especially, as I mentioned, given the 19 points he bagged last time Man City took on Arsenal in the Premier League. Wow. Well, there you go. Hope that has been some use for you, FPL manager, as you prepare your team. Remember the deadline, 5 o'clock British summertime on Wednesday, an hour before Aston Villa kick off this Premier League restart against Sheffield United. We'll be back next Monday with the next edition of the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. If you'd like some more FPL content in the meantime, let the FPL show, then head over to PremierLeague.com. But for now, it's many, many thanks to Kelly Sommers, to Julien Laurens, and to Lee Bonfield. And best of luck with the game week ahead. Goodbye.